Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Shipley Wright, host of the Shipley Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Filling in today at a special time. Usually on Wednesdays from 3 to 4, you'll normally be doing the voice mobile, but I'm going to be doing the voice today from 3 to 4, so stay tuned, keep it locked in. I will be starting the show in just a matter of moments. It's already up. This is at the merry-go-round.
Majestic sight in the arena light. He came out swinging with all his might, and the chant was not that loud, but man, he sure was proud as he took the final bow at the concert.
Text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shipley Wright Show, filling in for the voicemobile here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Freeform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Wednesday afternoon. Here with you live until 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. The number to call into the show, 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. As we are now entering the absolute best time of year if you're a sports fan. Yes. The NBA playoffs begin in earnest this weekend officially, and I couldn't be more fired up. We're going to touch on some Bruins, a little bit of the Red Sox a little later on in the show, but we got to start with the NBA because last night, the NBA play-in tournament began. The Cavaliers and the Nets played, and the Nets pull out a victory over the Cavaliers, setting up a highly anticipated matchup between the Brooklyn Nets and your Boston Celtics. And to be frank with you, I am fired up because this is a playoff matchup in which that I think this is going to be a test in which that the Celtics have not had in quite some time, going back to, I would say, even a year ago. A year ago, this team was in complete disarray, didn't really stand much of a chance against the Brooklyn Nets as they were the victims of a gentleman's sweep, losing to the Brooklyn Nets in five. But this was a team that went through a lot early on in the first half of the season, and we all know the turnaround that they underwent, especially in the last 3 months, becoming the best team and playing like the best team in the NBA. Which now leads to this matchup between the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics. Because if it's not for the fact that this city thrives on negativity from Boston sports media and Boston sports personalities, it would have behooved me to start the show with a whole negative take and a whole negative sense and so forth. You see, I'm not going to approach this as this, oh my gosh, everything is going to be A-okay, green light, red light, 1, 2, 3. That's not what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do instead, because I'm sure you heard it all throughout radio this afternoon and this morning, I'm just going to come out and say that if this Celtics team could truly prove that they are a championship team, now this is the time. Now this is the time, no question. I don't fear Milwaukee. I don't fear anybody in the East. But now with all of the Celtics fans last night on Twitter saying, well, we're going to just completely be careful. And have you not seen Kyrie and KD in the playoffs? You were confident just a few weeks ago. Up until the final game of the regular season, you were confident. Now suddenly you just want to pump the brakes and say, well, have you seen them play? Like, where does this confidence go? Like, you suddenly are now nervous and crapping your pants because they were formerly known as the New York Nets, but because the Brooklyn Nets are, oh, they're the one team that's a bad matchup. Like, I don't get it with the fans in the city. I really don't. You were just talking up a great game about this team could be NBA Finals bound, and now they got the Brooklyn Nets, and now you're saying, well, I'm not so sure. KD scares me, and Kyrie scares me. What happened to the confidence? Where did I go? Did I just suddenly just go wayside? Because that's what it sounds like. A lot of you green teamers out there in greater Boston across New England sounding awfully nervous. Meanwhile, I'm not nervous. Why should I be nervous? Like, why should I be afraid of the two-headed monster that is Kyrie and KD? And then, oh, by the way, yeah, I'm fully aware that Ben Simmons could potentially return later on in the series as well. I'm fully aware of all of those things. But it really astonishes me how Celtic fans, but especially Boston sports media personalities, they were yapping their gums saying, well, we don't want to face Brooklyn. That would be a bad matchup in the first round. You should not try to play for the second seed and so forth. Stop it. Stop it already. Because if there's one thing that I absolutely despise, is the fact that you want to dodge a good team for the sake of an easier path to the NBA Finals. That's a losing mentality. That's what losers do. You want to find the easy way to the title to get to the finals. Meanwhile, you still got competition in the East. Brooklyn's not running anywhere. They welcome the challenge. I love that the Celtic players are embracing it. But Celtic fans? Based on the reactions that I've seen and that I've heard? Y'all are pathetic. Y'all are more mentally weak than I thought. I don't think we should have gotten a second seed because I don't think we can beat Brooklyn. KD and Kyrie, they are just absolutely fearsome in the playoffs. Okay, did you forget that the Brooklyn Nets and the games that they played against Kyrie and KD, they did win. Although Kyrie, much later in the season, was finally allowed to play home games at Barclays after missing all of the home games prior to the recent mandate lift in New York City for athletes and so forth. I'm starting off the show with fire because if there's one thing that I genuinely cannot stand, it's fans who were chirping about, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be a team that gets to the finals. Now, suddenly you got a Brooklyn Nets team that could possibly be the most dangerous number 7th-seeded team in the entire NBA playoffs. And now you're shaking in your boots? Oh, no, 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 no. We're not going to do that here. We're not going to do that here. Instead, what we're going to do is that we're going to keep that same energy. Be confident. And it's not a fake confidence that I feel. Yes, Robert Williams is still out. He may, just may, return later in the first round if the series goes to a Game 6 or a Game 7, depending on how he is health-wise. Because the NBA schedulers certainly did the Celtics a favor. So in case if you don't know what the schedule is for the first round, I'm going to do you this favor right now. Because the playoff schedule is as follows. Here we go. So, right now, Game 1 is Sunday, 3:30. That's on ABC. Game 2, Wednesday evening at TD Garden. I mean, what exactly are you guys worried about? Now, I'm just waiting for the schedule to finish loading up and whatnot. Here it is. So, Game 1, as I mentioned, Sunday afternoon, 3:30. And then after that, Game 2 is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Game 3 is April 23rd in Brooklyn. Game 4 is April 25th at Brooklyn. I get it. The games are spaced out, and it's like, why does the NBA have to do that? This is what the NBA does. They like to play games. They like to schedule playoff games. So that are so spaced out that by the time you get to Game 7, you would have gone at least 10 games. And no, 10 days, rather. In fact, you would go a full 2 weeks. Game 7 is scheduled for April 1st. May 1st. The schedule here has got it down for April 1st, but that's incorrect. May 1st is what they mean. So, with all of that being said, going back to the matchup between the Boston Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets, this is the matchup that the Celtics should, in fact, win in 6 games. I think it's a matchup that the Celtics should, in fact, win handily. No problem. Because if anything else, from last night's game between the Nets and the Cavaliers, the one takeaway that I sincerely believe is that the Brooklyn Nets beat the Cleveland Cavaliers with Kyrie Irving and KD playing great, yet they were still able to barely beat a team that is below them in terms of talent and a team that is clearly not in the same talent stratosphere as the Brooklyn Nets. And if they could barely beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, what makes you honestly think that the Brooklyn Nets are going to beat the Boston Celtics? Truthfully, honestly, if you got thoughts on this, Let me know your thoughts on this, please. Call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. That's the number to call into the program. And I'm just shaking my head like, this is just truly astounding. So this is a clip from last night's discussion panel on TNT inside the NBA between Charles Barkley as well as Shaq, Kenny Smith, the host himself, Ernie Johnson. So this is what it sounded like last night on TNT on Inside the NBA as they were previewing the Nets and Celtics playoff series. Here we go.
All right, so you look at this play-in game, and Irving and Durant scored or assisted on 80% of the Nets' field goals in this game, and it's the first time both Kyrie and Kevin have had double-digit assists in the same game as teammates.
When is game one?
Game one is Sunday afternoon.
You know, Jared asked him a very interesting question after the game about Ramadan. So he won't be able to eat before the game.
I have a little bit of...
a lot of experience with that,
with the king. Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. During his Ramadan month, he actually...
He played his best.
And, you know, I asked him that one time, and I was like... He's like, well, Kenny, when you take the emphasis off of food and you take it off of... You put it on prayer and thought, you focus better. So he's like, you know, the only thing that was the toughest thing, because he didn't drink anything either. So during the game, he never drank any water. So he said after the game, he just felt a little dehydrated. But during the game, it's so much excitement. And he said his focus was so locked in because he wasn't focused on his next meal as well and focused on his prayer, focused on other things other than basketball.
Yeah, but I thought that was when I played with him for 4 years, that was different.
4 years?
Yeah.
You were with the Rockets for 4 years?
Yeah. And I thought he struggled in day games. Because when we played night games, he ate because the game started at night. So he ate before the game. When we played an afternoon game, and see, I thought he said something interesting. I thought he did get dehydrated because he didn't drink. Not only did he not eat, he didn't drink.
Just real quick before I continue on with this particular clip here, because this is an interesting part. Now, for those of you that have been listening throughout, know that I am Muslim. That it is the month of Ramadan for me. We're now on day 12 of 29, if not 30, depending on the side of the moon. And they're talking about a very valid point in which that Kyrie Irving is fasting, and he talked about it very openly about the fact that he's playing while fasting and that game one will be Sunday afternoon. Kyrie will be fasting based on what he said. And that you would think that it would take away his ability to be able to play, but in reality, that's not true. Because for those of you that are old enough to remember, you remember Hakeem Olajuwon, one of the five greatest centers to ever play in the NBA, in NBA history, was a Muslim, fasted during the month of Ramadan, famously fasted during the month of Ramadan, and dominated, actually played even better while fasting than he did outside of Ramadan. So that's not something that is even going to be a factor, nor I don't even think it should be talked about either.
So I thought there was a notable difference. That's why I should have
questioned. Maybe he was older, too.
Yeah, he was older, too. But that's why I said if they're playing in the afternoon, it's going to be curious to me. Because let me tell you something. That boy, Marcus Smart, that's a different animal.
Yeah.
You're going to need some serious energy level to play against Mr. Smart. Because he is arguably... with Drew Holiday, the best guard defender in the league? That's why I asked that question.
I'm looking at the game a little different. I'm looking at Brown and Tatum, and I'm asking myself, should they be saying, okay, am I going to concede to you guys because you're so-called greater than me, or am I coming at you? Am I taking your spot? Everybody's going with Brooklyn. Brooklyn's a favorite. You know, Chuck saw it, the Vegas highs and all that. Tatum and Brown should be like, you know what? I'm the student, y'all the teacher, but it's time for us to kill you guys. And they should definitely be looking forward to playing out of their minds so they can send these guys home.
Yeah, that's I don't know if anybody, I wouldn't call Brooklyn the favorite in that.
Oh, no, no. They showed the odds. We were watching Espet in the green room. Huh? Yep. The Nets are favorite.
Yep. Really?
Yeah, which.
That
which,
surprises me.
Yes, well, it, listen.
It surprised all of us.
Huh? It surprised all of us. Yeah. And let me tell you something. What I saw tonight, they can't beat the Celtics. Because those two guys were fabulous, and they barely beat a mediocre Cavs team. And Brown and Tatum
got to play great.
They're going to play great because I don't know either one of those guys well, but I know to be Tatum has definitely got that ego. And he said it. He said, yeah, I saw LeBron get 50 and he got 50 the next day on the game. He says, yeah, I watched LeBron. Remember when LeBron had that good game?
Right.
He said, I watched LeBron last night and I want him to know I'm a great player too. And I know both of those guys going to play well. I'm sorry they don't have Williams. But Marcus Smart, to me, I think he's going to be huge because he is just a great defender. His intensity going to bring a lot. They cannot – the Celtics going to beat them.
Celtics 17-5 since the All-Star break. Best.
And Barkley said it himself there. And that was the reason why I wanted to play that clip because Barkley said it verbatim. The Celtics should have no problems beating the Brooklyn Nets. And in fact, I'll even go as far as to say that I'm even surprised that there are people that are readily saying, oh, Brooklyn's going to kill them. Brooklyn's going to take it. I'm sorry, have I not been watching the Celtics the last three, 4 months? I guess the answer is no, because the reality is Tatum and Brown have reached that elite level. And what Barkley is saying in terms of Marcus Smart, is that dog. He is that dog defensively, in which that he is the best defensive guard in the NBA, bar none. The other one that I would even put next to him in that category, Jrue Holiday. Jrue Holiday, he's got that killer instinct, but Marcus Smart brings a whole other level of intensity that the Brooklyn Nets are going to have to counter and figure out how they're going to play against that and use that against Marcus Smart's advantage. But that is something that I do think if you are the Brooklyn Nets, you got to be thinking this is going to be a whole different animal of a series. Because this, yes, you want to talk about Robert Williams not being available right now as he's still coming back from knee surgery. But, man, you got to really think, if you're the Brooklyn Nets, how do you counter against that? How do you plan against a team who they have played smoldering and smothering defense for the last 3.5 months? Here's the rest of the clip. This is courtesy of TNT Inside the NBA.
Record in the biz and the number one rated defense in the NBA. Again, missing Robert Williams as this series begins.
That Tice pickup
at 3:30.
Really? And also, what's the other kid? Derek White.
Yeah,
he's going to help them be able to guard Kyrie too.
All right, that'll be a 3:30 tip on Sunday afternoon. Ron at home hearing Chuck come on the show.
Hey, Ron ain't got nothing else to do. I told you, other than drive a couple of those guys to the old folks' home.
I know we heard that the first time.
It's going to be a fascinating series. My official prediction is Celtics in six. I really believe it's going to be Celtics in six. It's going to be a series. It's going to be very entertaining. But, man, you can expect Sunday afternoon at the Garden that the Celtics and the Celtics fans, they're going to be bringing at the Garden. If you got thoughts on the Celtics, Nets series, call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. Coming up next, the Bruins, we need to talk. Because if you weren't concerned about the state of the Boston Bruins before now, I think you should be concerned now. My thoughts on the Boston Bruins as they are currently on an off day between their games against the Blues last night and tomorrow's game against the Ottawa Senators, that and much more. Coming up next, right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM. WMFO in Medford.
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers this simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call into the program is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. As I'm here with you for another 25 or 27 minutes or so left in this one, as I'm filling in today for the voicemobile. And I want to wish all of you who are observing the month of Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak. Had an opportunity to attend an iftar last night that I was invited to attend, that was hosted by the Tufts MSA. And I thought that was really heartwarming and wonderful of them. So I want to say thank you for that. And those that are observing Passover or any other holiday, I'm sending you warmth and love, and as well as good greetings to you as well. Before I continue, I want to read this, read the donations drive PSA, and I want to start with the first one. If you love keeping the station freeform and supporting community radio, please consider donating to our 2022 donations drive. If you would like to pay online, go to give.tufts.edu under designation, select Arts, Sciences, and Engineering, then Other, and then put WMFO, or you can write us a check. To check our prize tiers and mailing address, go to WMFO.org and click the donations drive tab. Thanks for helping us keep it freeform. Last night, the Boston Bruins, they fall to the St. Louis Blues 4-2 in regulation, as they had an opportunity to clinch a playoff spot but was not able to capitalize on the opportunity. So they will have to wait until at least tomorrow night at the earliest to clinch their spot in the 2022 Stanley Cup playoffs. This morning, there was a tweet that was tweeted out by Fludo Shinzawa of The Athletic, who covers the Boston Bruins, for the aforementioned publication. And he said that basically that Bruce Cassidy was frustrated by the team's performance in a 5-on-5 drill at practice today. And he basically threw out a few expletives, if you will. And I tweeted it, or I should say quote tweeted it, in saying that this confirms what I had already been feeling about this team. That there's something very, very off with this team. That this team has kind of hit a lull, if you will. That they are not playing their best hockey. They haven't played their best hockey, quite frankly, in the last few games. But I do think that if you go back to, you go back and you look at the in the last three games in particular, I do think that if you are the Boston Bruins, you have to be a bit concerned, as the Bruins, they have now lost three of the last four games. And the one win in that stretch is the win against Tampa Bay from last week Friday, in which they won in overtime 2-1. So, if you're a Bruins fan, what is your thoughts on the current state of the team? Because right now, throw the injuries excuse out the window, this team looks like it's hitting a wall. I think it's hitting a wall. And the reason why I say that is because if you go back to last night's game, the big story for me is the fact that this Bruins team, they struggled to finish offensive chances and opportunities to score. And that's not a recipe to win games, like point blank. And I just wonder, in terms of the injuries to David Pastrnak and Hampus Lindholm, how much of it is it impacting the Boston Bruins? Because right now, we know that Pastrnak, he's still a ways off. Lindholm, Hampus Lindholm, he's closer to returning. But there just seems to be something off. They're not finishing. They're not finishing their chances, and it's something that, if you're a Bruins fan, you gotta be concerned. You gotta be concerned with what you have seen in the last four games, with how they've looked offensively, and how that they have been just not executing in the manner that they are accustomed to executing, especially during the stretch when they were winning 14 of 17. And it's just something that Bruce Cassidy talked about. He talked about effort. And he said from last night's presser, quote, "I think our effort, we're trying. Guys are working hard. It's just we've got to be smarter." Yeah. The old adage of work harder, not smarter, applies. And it most certainly applies to the Boston Bruins, where it isn't about working hard. Work smarter, not harder. Because I said this before, I said it at the beginning of this month, that they are now in a month in which that they are playing games every other day. Guys are struggling to stay healthy. Brandon Carlo, most notably last night, had to leave last night's game. He didn't return to last night's game. So that's another body that fell on the Bruins' blue line. First, it was Lindholm. Now it's Carlo. And you wonder, what are the Bruins going to do at this point to be able to replace those bodies that are falling to injury? And who knows how long Carlo will be out. Will he play tomorrow? That remains to be seen. That's still up in the air as of right now. But I am concerned, another reason being, because you talk about opportunities to get off to a good start. The Bruins did exactly the opposite last night. All it took was just 30 seconds for the St. Louis Blues to score the opening goal. David Perron. That's it. And then 15 seconds later, Bergeron scored his 20th goal of the season, and it was tied within the first minute of regulation. But it was just that first goal, for me, that was just poorly executed, especially defending in their own end. And I think that they've had good habits for like maybe half of the game, but as far as bringing it for the full 60, that wasn't there last night. And Cassidy says, he said last night from the press conference, quote, "Plain and simple, you don't win against good teams when you don't play intelligent hockey." And then he also went on to say, "Our habits were good for half of the game." So we're back to November, where we played half a hockey game and then shot ourselves in the foot and couldn't do enough to recover against good hockey clubs. That's the thing. When you're playing against teams such as Washington, when you're playing against teams like Florida or Toronto, you can ill afford to play half a game of good hockey, because this is exactly how you get burned. And then also I should have also mentioned last night that Matt Grzyk, they were out of the lineup last night, upper body injury. So you talk about a team that is struggling to absolutely stay healthy. It's not helping matters at all. But then you got to give credit to Eric Haller, who continues to play very well. As you saw that nice, beautiful assist from that beautiful assist to Mark McLaughlin, who's a Billerica native, for that goal that made it 2-1 Bruins last night. It was one of those things where it's like, okay, you now begin to appreciate what Eric Haller brings to the table as a second-line centerman. But you still need healthy bodies. And now you're without Grzyk. You were without Grzyk last night. You lost Carlo during the game. You're without Lindholm right now. You don't know for how much longer. And I didn't mention about David Pastrnak as well, because Pastrnak, who knows when he's coming back. But it's definitely something that I think that we need to have take a close look at, because it's one of those situations where if you're the Boston Bruins, how do you move forward in terms of making adjustments, planning out exactly how are you going to execute better, and then go from there. And I think that is something that we are going to believe and feel that this team can, you know, turn the page. You got Ottawa tomorrow night. That should be a good team that they're able to find their game again and bounce back before they got a big matchup against the Pittsburgh Penguins on Saturday afternoon. If you got any thoughts, call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. I'm here with you for another 15 minutes or so as I'm filling in for the voicemobile today here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, what on earth are we doing here in Boston? Because if there's one thing that does stand out to me is that it just seems like the Boston media landscape seems to be in a bit of a malaise these days. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm thinking coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Feet Farm Radio.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40. One more if you're not physically active. Another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Pop quiz. Which is more dangerous, alcohol or marijuana? Study after study, the science shows that alcohol causes much more harm to the user and to society than marijuana. So why do colleges punish students more harshly for getting caught with cannabis? Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy and give your college administrators a simple pharmacology 101 lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out if there's a chapter at your school or how to start one.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presence, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, eight kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
I'm talking to you. See you standing over there with your body. Feeling like I wanna rock with your body. And we don't gotta think about nothing. I'm coming at you. Cause I know you got a bad reputation. Doesn't matter cause you give me temptation. And we don't gotta think about nothing. These friends keep talking way too much. Give you
fresh type of flow. Wrist icicle, ride deck bicycle. Come true, yo, get you this type of blow. If you wanna manage, I got a tricycle. All these bitches froze, it's my mini-me. Body smoking, so they call me Young Nicki Chimney. Rappers and they feelings, cause they feeling me. I give zero fucks and I got zero chillin' me. Kissin' me, cop the blue box that say Tiffany. Curry with the shot, just tell him to call me Stephanie. Gun pop, then I make my gun pop. I'm the queen of rap, young Ariana run pop.
These friends keep talking way too much. Say I should give them up. Can't hear them no, cause
welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Reform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Before I continue on, I want to read you part two of the donations drive PSA. If you like what we are doing here at 91.5 FM WMFO, consider donating. Go to WMFO.org and click our donations drive tab to see how you can help us keep it freeform. That is the second part of the donations drive PSA. I figure I'd just read both of them, you know, one at a time. You know, if you want to call in, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. Here with you for another 9 minutes today as I'm filling in for the voicemobile. It's a pleasure to be here with you to fill in for the show. But there's something awry or something's up in the Boston with the Boston media these days. I can't really put a finger on it. So I'm just going to just talk about some of the things that I've noticed and some of the things that has really stood out to me today. One of them in which that I noticed that that today, as I was listening to Zolak and Bertrand this morning, that it seemed like that Beatle really had this Felgo-like approach or take like on the Boston Celtics. I just thought it was funny because he's not negative, but he's very down the middle. But today, he just seemed to be very down on the matchup between the Celtics and the Nets and why the Celtics should have played for this number two seed in the East and so forth. Like, and what really stands out to me is this, is that it just seems like when the Celtics were on their run during the regular season, now that the regular season's over and we're now focused on the NBA playoffs, that we were wondering how high and how far could this team go? Where could this team end up in terms of seeding in the Eastern Conference? And as we drew closer to the end of the regular season, it just seemed like the closer that they got to the number two or the number three seed in the East, that teams were now saying, wow, okay, man, this is going to be a battle for the number two seed, and it was. But locally, in terms of the Boston Sports Media, I'm talking about in terms of 98.5 The Sports Hub and WEEI, it just seems like, well, they should want to avoid the number two seed because they don't want to have to play Brooklyn in the first round. I'm sorry. Are we not supposed to beat the best in order to become the best? See, in life, we love to take the easy route to get what we want. That's not how life works. Championships are not won because it was an easy path to get there. That's not why or how they're won. I've always believed that if the Boston Celtics are going to win an NBA title this season, they were going to have to beat the best teams in the league. You were going to have to beat the best teams in the Eastern Conference. That includes Brooklyn. That includes Milwaukee. That includes Philadelphia. Or, heck, or even Miami for the fact of the matter. There was not going to be any sort of way to get around that. But it seems like the local media in New England, especially on radio and TV, but especially radio most notably, it just seems that, well, if they get there, well, don't say I didn't tell you that it was a bad matchup. If what if they lose? Well, we can now pounce on this team. This team is a bunch of frauds. Don't you love how negativity seems to fester in the Boston sports media, and it really drives me off the wall? Like, they don't believe in sort of balance. You have believed and been drinking the Kool-Aid of the Celtics being a potential championship team all along. And now suddenly that they're in the number two seed, and now that they're facing the Brooklyn Nets, who they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers last night in the play-in tournament game, now all of a sudden, you're very down on the Celtics, and you're down on the idea that this may not end well for the Boston Celtics. So what is this supposed to do? Prepare the fans and for the region, if in fact the Celtics lose in the first round, how much of a disappointment this is. Oh, this is a colossal failure. Is that what this is? Because that's what it sounds like. You're trying to downplay the expectation and the idea that the Celtics could in fact play with anybody in the East in order for this team to get to the NBA Finals. And for the life of me, I absolutely hate the fact that there's this negative notion of, I'm not so sure if this team could beat the Brooklyn Nets. I don't think that this team could play well against Kyrie or KD or Ben Simmons and whatnot, or Bruce Brown or whatever. I hate it. Like, I can't stand the fact that here we are as fans and even as members of media, myself included, being a play-by-play broadcaster on ESPN Plus, and even as a radio host here at 91.5 WMFO, that we are driven by negativity and by downplaying expectations based on the fact that, well, I don't think so, man. And if they don't, well, this team was a failure. I knew that this team couldn't do it all along. Yeah, this is exactly what it sounds like. You're setting up the fans for failure. Because now you're disingenuous. You're disingenuous with your contrarian takes. You're disingenuous about your feelings on your team, honest feelings about the team, and as well as the fact that this entire time everybody was excited and all fired up, and fans are still fired up. But it just seems like the media today, but especially in Boston, not very sure. Not very confident the Celtics could actually pull it off. Why? Why is that? Is it because you don't want to be looked upon as, well, you thought that this team could potentially go deep. You thought that this team could actually, you know, be a championship caliber team. All right, now it's time for this team to show it. And that same energy you had over the course of the last 3 months, don't change to now. You absolutely inconsiderate and inconsistent frauds. Just inconsistent. I just can't stand it. I really hate it. Like, it's not even just so much as what they do in terms of the Celtics only. They do the same thing for the Patriots. They do the same thing for the Red Sox. They do the same thing for the Bruins. Gosh, it drives me off the wall. I hate it. Absolutely hate it when they do that. But at any rate, it's time for the final thoughts. Presented by yours truly, Shukri Writes, here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally at WMFO.org. Man, listen. The Red Sox, they got their home opener in 2 days against, you know who, the Minnesota Twins, which is, it's going to be an exciting day at Fenway Park on Friday afternoon. I saw some of the photos today that was posted on Twitter by Nesson, their new Fenway Park studios. I'm sure all of you know and remember over the course of many years that they were across on Jersey Street, formerly Yawkey Way, broadcasting outside. Now they have their own studios for when the Red Sox are in season on Nesson and so forth. And I think it's wonderful. I love it. Why? They don't have to be outside. They're inside Fenway Park. They're inside the studio. They're inside the new Truly Terrace that's going to be opening up on Friday. I actually can't wait to see it myself for the first time this season. You know? So, if anything else, I'm even more geeked to check it out. Because, I love media. I love broadcasting. I love things like that. It's sleek. It's modern. It's fire. It's gorgeous. And yes, I'm fawning over the Nesson Studios at Fenway Park now. The new one that's opening up inside of Truly Terrace. I know, bizarre, right? Oh, aren't you such a geek? Yeah, I am a geek when it comes to these things. Whoops. Hate to break it to you. Man, my mouth is parched. I'm sitting here talking and doing more talking. And my tongue is like dry at this point. It's like, oh, okay. Perks are fasting. Gotta love it. And I got a national show to co-host tonight on Sports Map Radio from 8 to 10, filling in on the Diehard. So you're going to want to tune in for that. 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. tonight on Sports Map Radio on 100 affiliates across the United States. You can stream the show live nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app as well. For now, that's going to be it for this guy. Because this guy is going to say peace out. So, thank you for tuning in to the Sugar Ray Show, filling in for the Voicemobile today, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Me From Radio. Coming up next, Sess and Nuts, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Me From Radio. This is Sugar Ray signing off. I'll talk to you guys again next time. Follow me on social media, out on Twitter at Sugar Ray, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. That's the way to keep in touch with me and follow me in terms of latest updates as to when I am back on the airwaves. Talk to you guys again next time. Take it easy. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Peace. Pretty sure that I